Better that time.
Caught it in time. Yes. And it's time for part two. Part two of Area Fishing Report.
No echo reverb on that thing or anything?
Yeah, I can probably get it there, but let's see. When last seen, Fishman and Bobber were trapped on the beaches. They were getting ready to be exploited and run out into the deep waters of the Gulf. What will happen to Fishman and Bobber now? Oh my God, nice. Stay tuned. Same fish time, same fish channel. It's time for Fishman. Okay, let's see. And, wow. Oh yeah, hey, I gotta tell you, it's definitely one of those.
You're a
days.
Lunatic.
And let's see, Robert's back. And we're doing another. Yay! Okay, an enthusiastic crowd this morning. Oh my God, are you can control yourself, folks? Okay. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Frank.
Okay.
That was good.
Radio fishing starts now.
All right. Well, I know we left off on the beaches, so I guess we can jump right into the Gulf.
Yeah, let's go into the Gulf.
Well, it's pretty awesome out there right now.
About, what did I say it was, 84 degrees?
84 degrees.
Yeah, and...
9 degrees above normal. It's June water temperature in April.
Yeah, yeah it is. So we kind of need some cloud cover. I don't know... I was just looking on fishandfranks.com, and I just, when you go on, I probably got to label this better, but the 7-day forecast under the wind and weather forecast is land based, and that's what you'd see on your TV and stuff. And then you go on the other one, and that one's actually the NOAA water, and they're always different. But
yeah.
Oh boy, we're looking for a little cloud cover tonight. 40% chance of thunderstorms. Friday night mostly cloudy. Saturday 40% chance of storms. Saturday night cloudy. 20% chance on Sunday. So Sunday looks like a great day. Yeah, let's see. Sunday 20% chance of showers. 5 to 10 mile an hour winds. It's gonna be beautiful, Robert.
It's gonna
beautiful.
Be gorgeous.
It's a wonderful day to go fishing. It's a beautiful day in the fishing. It's a beautiful day fishing. Won't you be my fish?
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, what's going on in the Gulf?
Oh, let's see. Anywhere from the passes to about 12 miles out, the mangrove snapper bite is really good. The porgies, some grunts, a few sheep's head. Kind of a miscellaneous assortment there in that distance. But you've also got a lot of Spanish mackerel, a few kings hanging around, some cobia. There's still quite a few triple tail in those crab traps. And if I'm not mistaking, the stone crab traps leave in May. So you've only got a few more weeks with the heavy traps out there with the triple tail. Anywhere from 60 feet, which is about 12, 14 miles out, to 35 miles out, there has been a lot more kings and quite a few tuna being caught. You know, the tuna have been kind of nice.
Tuna. Fish, going fishing.
Yeah, there's not a lot
That's
of them.
That's a tuna, right?
Yeah. Tuna piano, but not a fish.
Okay, yes.
Yes. The tuna have been showing up sporadically. They're really not blitzing on the surface. They're just coming through. These guys are out there anchored up while they're chumming.
Tiny,
showing up in their chum slicks. And then
tiny little lures. Tiny little stuff, guys. Think glass minnow. And we've got some little tiny lead-based spoons. They're not really a spoon. They're not really a jig. But they're kind of shaped like that. Mm-hmm. And if you take the treble hook off and put a circle hook on the back of it, it's very, very effective.
Absolutely.
And they're little tiny, but you're looking for something an inch and a half, 2 inches, maybe 2.5 inches long, and you'll get a lot more fish.
Right.
Small and little, like an anchovy.
And the cool part is the tuna here are totally different than the tuna in the Keys. You know, the tuna in the Keys average, you know, 1 to 3 pounds. 6-7 pounders, a pretty good size blackfin for down there. The blackfins
right.
here on average are 20 pounds. 25 pounders are very normal. So
yeah.
You're talking literally three times the size of a fish that you're used to from the Keys.
I'm still going to throw awesome. Those little tiny baits.
Oh, no, 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 no. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you. I agree with you 1,000%. Yep. It's just that people are floored by the size of our blackfin tuna that we have here because they're so used to the stereotypical keys, whether they see it on TV or whether they've done it themselves down at any of the humps in the keys.
Right.
So it's just a... It's awesome. I mean, it's a very well worthwhile animal.
We just don't have the numbers they do in the
case. No.
Nowhere near the numbers.
No,
but
not at all.
It's still a lot of fun.
Right. But I'll still take a 20-pounder over a 3-pounder in a skinny minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially on some, you know, an 8 to 17-pound spinning rod.
Right.
And, you know, let him take about 120 yards of line and then bring him back.
Exactly.
So, oh, yeah. All good.
Out there at that 25 to 35 mile mark, there's been some very good red grouper, some kingfish.
You're getting 20 pound plus red grouper out in 80 feet of water.
Yeah.
20 pound plus.
Yeah, there's been some quality fish around right now. And from what I understand, all that's going to change sometime in May with the regulation.
May 7th, you go down to 2 grouper.
2. All the way across the board, 2 red, 2 gag, 2 black.
I don't know. I know that the reds are down to 2.
Right.
But it's part of the issues I've had with the CCA and the state and everybody else. It seems to always be about something else, but never about the fishermen. We pay the darn bills. $19 billion a year fishing industry in Southwest Florida.
Just Florida, yeah.
And we have a $3 billion a year commercial industry. Why the heck are they still doing long lines and purse seines, and why do they get all the stuff? Mom, you like him better.
Yeah,
I mean, let's face it, they have better lobbyists, they pay the politicians better.
Yeah.
We don't pay off the politicians. We expect them to do their job for their paycheck. We don't expect that we should have to buy them trips to the Bahamas and pay their, you know, for their secretaries to have miniskirts or something. I mean, this is just, or, you know, in the case of a nice lady, you know, congressman or senator, you know, I mean, her cabana boy gets a new thong or something. I don't know, but I got to tell you, it's BS. They pay them better than we do, and that's why they get the stuff. I mean, it's just plain simple. You know, they have better lobbyists. They're sucking up. I mean, if you want something done in government, buy table dances. You know, it's just the way it works.
Exactly.
You know, no, I'm not jaded. Are you kidding?
Not at all.
No, I'm not jaded.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
A couple other oddball fish out there have been some African pompano, and then also at the nearshore reefs, which I overlooked, was permit. Permit are showing up all over the place out there.
Now, you had great advice on the permit. We had a great time Tuesday night and last night at Luigi's, the Spanish mackerel thing. We just had a ball with this, and we spent a lot of showing people how to tie knots with the steel leader and stuff, the new AFW steel leader. Stuff is crazy good.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's selling off so fast. Dave Jacobs was in this morning, and I said, just try it. Now, you put the leader on the counter with some braided line and say, just tie it together. Well, I don't know how. Just tie it up. He's like, holy cow. He's going out and fishing, trying to catch ladyfish and stuff because he's using that on his snook and his black drum.
Tarpon and snook.
Yeah. But the Spanish mackerel keep cutting his lures off. So he's going to put 3 feet of that on there. And with the line-to-line knot, the copper color, he should have a lot less, you know. And this is unfortunate. Right. We're not going to sell as many lures. This is not a good thing. This wire is horrible. It doesn't work. You cannot tie it with any knot to any hook. You cannot tie it to the lure. Uh-huh. You cannot tie it line to line with braided just like you would fluorocarbon. It doesn't work at all, guys, because I got to sell more lures. That's how I stay in business.
Exactly.
If you're using this and those Spanish mackerel aren't cutting your lures off all the time, I'm going to have a pay cut. This is not good.
No,
let's see.
It's pretty interesting stuff, without a doubt.
Yeah, so don't buy that AFW stuff. No, we don't want that.
And the other thing that's also happening out there besides the permit is a lot of miscellaneous sharks. Some of the bigger sharks are starting to move in because the tarpon are starting to move into the passes. You know, so you're starting to see some big bulls, few hammers, some lemons, some pretty nice-sized black tips, too.
That's been a theme this year. I mean, we've been hearing about 50-pound black tips, 60-pound black tips.
Exactly.
It's not the stereotypical. I mean, I'm used to seeing the 2.5, 3 footers, you know, right, anywhere from 10 to 30 pounds. But these are
some studs.
Yeah, they got some big black tips out there.
Pretty nice.
And remember, try not to use barbs on sharks, guys.
Or circle hooks.
Yeah, if you're going to use circle hooks and everything, but remember, take the barbs off your, and don't crush it up against the shank. Curl the point down. You need as much of a bump as you can get. Barbless hooks are horrible. Barbless hooks are just junk, and they don't keep the bait on, they don't keep the fish on. But when you take the point and take your time with the pliers and roll it down to create a bump, comes out of you, comes out of the fish, it works great. And sharks, the way their mouth is designed, it's too heavy cartilage, sinew, all that muscle and stuff, and it's just disastrous ripping a barb out of them. I don't like it at all. And the only reason we don't like circle hooks is it's too difficult to get out of the fish. If you don't have a barb on the hook, you can run your hook remover down and pop them right out, and they'll come right out easily, even if it's down a little further in the shark. But and if you end up breaking off or cutting off without a barb, it falls out.
Definitely works its way out, without a doubt.
It'll fall out. It doesn't have to rot out.
Right.
Not like a circle hook does. Circle hooks are a good idea for some things, but not... They are a good hook, not the good hook.
Right. Exactly. As you work your way into the passes, up and down the beaches, the tarpon are starting to show up in good numbers. Been some really good Spanish mackerel, a few king mackerel. Blue runners are off the chain out there. I mean, there's blue runners everywhere up and down the beaches and the passes, all the nearshore reefs. It's kind of funny. Some of these guys are going out and going, I got chased off by the blue runners off my spot.
Really?
Or while they're out there trying to catch bait, you know, sabiki and up things, and all they can get is literally hundreds of blue runners coming up on their boat. It's kind of neat.
That's really cool.
There's also been some really large jacks coming through in some schools, which is a real nice change compared to what we've had in the past. I mean, we've had schools of jacks out on the beaches, the passes, and in the harbor.
This is the first year I can remember doing that.
Yeah.
I got to Google something here for a minute. 10 to 15 pounders. Actually, I'm going to use DuckDuckGo. Google tracks every movement you do and sells it to advertisers. DuckDuckGo does not sell what you do to advertisers yet. They will, but they don't do it yet. Blue runners. Is there a better name for them than blue runners?
Nope, that's their normal common name.
Okay, blue runners.
You also have some grouper and some snapper in the passes. Down in Captiva Pass and Redfish Pass, they've been getting some better quality mangrove snapper.
They're also called blue striped jack, Egyptian scad, hardtail jack, and hardnose.
I've heard of them called hardtails.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know all the rest of the names of them. I was trying to find out what the biggest.
It's a good size. It's like 8 pounds or something like that.
Go ahead. I'm just gonna look and see.
I think it's up to like 6 or 8 pounds. I think is the record. It's pretty big.
I don't know what 70 centimeters in. Okay, 100 is 3 foot, so 70 is about 2.5 foot. 3/4 of 3, so 2 foot.
Yeah, it's like 2.3 centimeters per inch.
So,
yeah, it's 2.3, I think.
Well, breaking it down a little simpler, if it's 3 foot and 70, that's almost 3/4. So 3/4 of 3 feet is 2 feet.
Right.
So it's a little less than 2 feet. All right. The
tarpon have been moving in and out of all those passes. Early morning seems to be a little bit better. But each day forward, they're just going to get thicker and thicker and thicker, without a doubt. As you work your way down towards Sanibel, out there off of Knapp's Point, tarpon have been there for 3-4 weeks. Guys have been catching them fairly regularly. If they can't find them out front there, they're moving in on the backside right there around the causeway, working their way up towards St. James City for those. A lot of snook down there around Ponarasa, around all those docks. There's just some really, really big snook have moved in on those docks now. All the mangrove islands down there, that whole Pine Island Sound area has got a lot of snook on them. Most of the snook have left the creeks and canals down there. They've moved out onto those islands.
Yeah, going back to Blue Runner for a minute, you know they eat jellyfish?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, they eat jellyfish. That's kind of cool.
Interesting. A new spade fish did, but I didn't know they did.
Yeah, they do.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. If you're not learning, you know what I mean?
And right.
All of a sudden, we're getting these huge schools. They said there's been reports of 10,000 blue runners in a single school.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could see that, too. I mean, that would be crazy. So each female releases 40,000 eggs or something.
Wow.
Plus. All right, I'm off to Blue Runner. I closed my page on it.
There you go. Down there in Pine Island Sound, St. James City area, those deeper sand flats are holding a few trout. They're not numbers, but they are definitely better quality fish. I've seen and heard of a couple different fish in that 25 to 28 inch range, which is pretty good. Redfish have been spotty down there just like anywhere else. It's just kind of an incidental catch right now. Actually targeting them has been pretty difficult. There's still a lot of Spanish mackerel, a few oddball bluefish, and a lot of jacks cruising out there on those flats too. So while you're trying to target those trout, you're coming across the jacks, the Spanish. A lot of the little sharks, a few bigger bull sharks, and some nice, nice lemon sharks down there cruising on the flats. So if you're wade fishing, be observant. And you're also starting to get a lot of rays. That's why those sharks are moving up onto those flats. A lot of your southern stingrays are starting to move around and give birth. So if you're a wade fisherman, make sure you're doing that shuffle while you're out there so you don't get hammered. Yeah, exactly. Something I don't want to ever deal with.
They don't have a good... We gotta get the Sci-Fi Channel to do the attack of the killer stingrays. Right. They're coming, folks. They're flying through the water. They're coming to get you. They're looking for Australians. And
yeah. Or the unlucky windsurfer.
Yeah, the unlucky windsurfer.
Did you see that last week or 2 weeks ago?
No, what happened?
He was windsurfing out there and picked up or whatever and then came down in the water really hard, and his girlfriend saw that he was kind of in distress, so took the dinghy over to go over to help him out, and he got hit in the femoral in his leg by a big ray and bled out. Done.
Yeah. Boy, your day.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, if...
That's like one... The odds of that are one in a trillion.
Oh, I'm sure probably at least that.
Oh, yeah. At least one in a trillion. The odds of getting bit by a shark is one in 14 million. And worldwide, I think people die from... Like, three people a year die from stingrays or something like that.
Something like that.
It may be one a year, every other year. It's very, very...
So they get hit there. I mean, out of all the places that get hammered.
Yeah, I mean,
what chance of landing on a ray to begin with, let alone get hammered in a vital artery?
One, I mean, literally a trillion to one shot. So stingrays are really cool. I mean, I waded this harbor barefoot for 20 years and never had a problem with a stingray. You can just go up and, you know, kind of tickle them with your toe and they just shuffle on out of the way. They don't.
Yeah.
They only get mad if you step on them. And
I
got to tell you, if I'm sleeping on the floor and somebody steps on me, I'm a little upset too.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's not like they're vicious creatures.
No, not at all.
But, Sci-Fi Channel has to come up with a...
Well, I'm sure they will soon.
Oh, I'm going to write them a letter. I think I could write a movie about the attack of the killer rays.
If
because
they can do one on a Sharknado, I'm sure it shouldn't be too far-fetched.
That was hilarious. I love that movie.
I watched like 2 minutes of the whole thing and just no.
Sci-Fi Channel, the king of the B movies. No,
I have a hard time enough getting to get caught up on my own TV programs that I really like, so it's hard for me to watch other stuff that's useless.
But that's the only reason I watch TV. I want useless stuff.
No, I know.
But I want no reality. I don't want to know what's going on in the world. If I want to watch what's going on in the world, I watch the BBC.
Right.
Because I damn sure ain't going to watch an American program.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
You don't
I don't care
watch.
What color Britney Spears' underwear is.
You don't want to watch constant negative news.
Yes. So, anyway, getting back into the fishing, we were down around St. James City, coming up through Matt Lachey. I know there's some black drum underneath the bridge. There's still some snook as they're moving in and out less by the day as they can get right down to Ponderosa to go spawn. But,
I think that's why all those docks have filled up so much. I think the majority of them have boogied out of there. There are a few redfish down there around the Indian fields. There's a lot of tarpon down there by the power lines there close to the Indian fields. You got to look for them a little bit. They're in that shallower water in that 6 to 4 feet range right along the edges of the main channel.
And I'm going to go with anchoring up. Anchor up and if
let them come to you.
Yeah. It's hard when you're drifting because wherever you're drifting, they're going to be right behind you.
And if you're not only that, but they're swimming in singles and deuces. And right now, the water is just that perfect temperature where they'll actually lay like snook. They'll actually sit right on the bottom. So most of the time, if you're drifting or trolling motoring, you're not seeing them until you're virtually on top of them and almost spooking them.
Yeah, you're almost better just drifting
lazy,
your baits out under
lazy
floats.
Lazy cruising, or they're sitting still. You know, and there's enough fish moving around where you should be able to have no problem. And they're nice tarpon. They're in that 60 to 120-pound range. They're good-sized fish. As you get around Mat Lachey, that's where it seems to be a little bit better concentration of some of the smaller ones that have boogied out of the Cape Coral canals and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of tarpon living in those Cape Coral canals nowadays. Yeah. They found those a few years ago, and they're really starting to use them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. As you work your way up from Mat Lachey and up towards Boquilla area, all around Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals, lots and lots of bait. White bait, thread fins, pinfish, pretty much just about the whole gamut. It's very similar to devilfish right now. So you've got Spanish mackerel, sharks, some snooks, lots of trout, a few incidental redfish cruising through there. Kind of a mix, just a mix of variety of stuff. I mean, you can literally go down there and target, you know, little 10 to 15 inch trout, or throw out a bigger bait and catch possibly a 5 or 6 foot shark or tarpon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's just a whole gamut of stuff going on around there. Same way with heading over towards Patricio and Mondongo, all along that area, along that intercoastal. A lot of tarpon cruising through there, a lot of little to larger sharks, Spanish mackerel, your trout. I mean, it's just about any species you want right now. And we were talking about it last night. This is definitely the time of year where you carry a small rod for snook and redfish, a large rod for tarpon and moderate sized shark. You know, you want to carry a variety of baits with you, both now, frozen or live.
If you're listening to us and you're in Michigan or Wisconsin or Minnesota or any of the northern states, I'm going to tell you one thing you want to bring with you for your tarpon trip is your crappie rod. The little tiny rod you use to catch crappie or yellow perch, that little rod like that, what you're going to do is bring that little rod down and you're going to catch your ladyfish or the Spanish mackerel or all these other, the blue runners. Use that little crappie rod to have a blast with. Your best bet's going to be like 6 pound braid and then tie some of that, don't tie that AFW 25 pound test to the, you know, line to line on it. And use that to catch your light fish. And you're going to have a ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that makes catching bait so much fun.
Yeah.
And you're going to enjoy being out there catching your bait and catching these big tarpon and doing the whole thing. So when you're coming down and you're going to do your tarpon trip, bring a very, very light rod, a 4 to 10 action rod with a little 1,000 reel on it, just to have a blast with catching bait. Why not just expand the experience and catch some of these great fish on the light tackle and then go into catching your tarpon and your sharks and all that?
Exactly.
But it just brings the whole thing full circle.
Yeah.
And it's the forgotten rod right now.
Absolutely.
But that's what I would do. And you can actually put beetle spins on it. Beetle spins work great on ladyfish and all these small stuff. I mean, just a regular old beetle spin. So, is it crappie lure is what we're talking about, guys. Not crappie, crappie. So,
speckled perch.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
You bet you there, buddy. All right. Now, we can't get there from here, but if we could get there from here, we're going to head up the east side, I think, by now.
Yeah.
Starting off Two Pines coming up.
Two Pines working your way up towards Burnt Store. Whole lot of snook. Snook are scattered both on top of the bar and up along the bushes there, so they're doing really, really good with those. Few incidental redfish, but nothing to write home about. If you do find one, sometimes they are a little oversized, but there's very, very little numbers of them.
What I would do is, if you're looking for your tarpon, guys, between Two Pines and Burnt Store, get out on the bar. If somebody's anchored there, don't get down current from them. Stay off to the side. We want to line up side by side, and then if there is somebody side by side there, go down 200-300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can make out their faces, you're too close. That's their section. They're waiting for a tarpon to come up. If you go down past them, make sure you cannot make out what their faces look like. That's a good enough distance. And if you need glasses like I am, put your damn glasses on. Right. And then make sure you can't make out their faces. If you're, you know, if you're like me and you look at them without your glasses, hell, I'm 20 feet away. I can't see what the hell you look like. A couple hundred yards.
Yeah.
You know.
And not only that, give a very wide swing on it if you're running your outboard. Don't parallel them and go right past them.
It's not going to hurt anything if you don't change the tempo of your motor, but they will think it is.
But
they will think it's going to. Exactly. And remember, discourteous is always what other people do.
Yeah.
That's the, when you look up discourteous in the book, it's just things other people do.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Never what you do.
Never.
So, you know, if you think you're wide enough, just go a little bit more. So
exactly.
But anchor up over there and try and get a good, you're going to get a pretty decent shot at a tarpon, better than 50-50. You get about a 70% chance anchoring up over there, drifting some thread fins out, maybe some cut bait on the bottom, some thread fins under some floats, and you'll have a good shot at your tarpon over there. That's actually a pretty good place.
Right.
And if you've got some thread fins that die on the bottom, I'm going to take and dice them up. Now, the only problem with dicing them up and throwing them out is it does attract catfish as well as tarpon.
And sharks.
And sharks it attracts. So, you know, keep in mind there's give and take on the whole chum issue.
Yes, exactly.
But they're all fun to catch.
Absolutely.
But coming up, like you say, a lot of snook along the bar. A great time to go bar cruising right now. Mm-hmm. Up north, we always took snowmobiles and went bar hopping. Now we're going to do it sandbar cruising down here. And you're not looking for two-legged. What we're looking for is cool fish.
Yeah.
Sharks, cobia, tarpon, and just to be able to see it, big hat, polarized glasses, and idle along the bar, stand up and look, and all of a sudden you're going to see some of the most amazing things. I mean, it's going to be indelled in your brain for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And then
it's because the water is at its clearest this month. I mean, April, it's usually just very super clear.
And you're going to get some visuals that you're never going to forget. And the only thing I will tell you, it's very hard to get a cast into them because you become almost mesmerized by what you're seeing. And it's so cool looking, you almost forget to grab the rod. And then all of a sudden, just remember when you go to grab the rod, don't jump for it.
Right.
Nice and easy, over to the rod, low cast, very little movement. Don't move your arms around a lot. Try and keep your movements to a minimum. Slow and sure will get that fish to actually hook up when you cast. If you jump and run to the other side to get your rod and then take a big overhand cast with it, they're going to see all that stuff and they're gone.
Yeah.
Got to, you know, I know you're excited, but take your minute to look at it and then kind of go down and sneaky, 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 go get that rod. Hold your rod. Get your bait on, hold your rod low, nice short movements, wrist cast only. Don't use your arm. Try and keep that as sneaky, small movements as possible so you don't spook that fish. Because if you can see them, they can see you. And big movements are scary movements.
Exactly.
That means attack.
Yep, most of their predators, well, half their predators come from above and the other half come from below, so.
Yeah, but it's always
look around.
That picture the bird coming down on a fish. It's a lot of big wing movements. And your arms coming out like the flapping of a pelican's wings or something, that means death from above. That's why I'm telling you to try and keep your hands and arms in small, close to your body so you're not spooking anything. Rod's a little smaller. You probably get away with throwing it, but keep it with just your wrist, not your arm, and you will hook up. Much better chance of hooking up those fish.
Right.
Kind of around the east side, but now coming out through the middle of the harbor, what's going on at the Alligator Creek Reef, Cape Hayes Reef?
Cape Hayes Reef and the Alligator Creek Reef both have a lot of Spanish mackerel on them. Some very good-sized mangrove snappers still on them. Now, I don't know how much longer they're going to last because sometimes usually it's around the new moon or the full moon of April, early May when they really disappear.
Right.
So you might only have anywhere from a couple days to a couple weeks left of that. Lot of little sharks, few cobia, oddball sheep's head still, been some oddball gag grouper out there, still a lot of jewfish too. All those are going to start to slowly disappear a little bit, and it's just going to be mainly down to the small snapper, Spanish mackerel. So take advantage of the better numbers of the varieties of fish that you got right now. There has been a few tarpon on it, but they've been real sporadic.
That's the Goliath grouper.
That's a Goliath grouper?
They run Harleys out of the harbor.
Wow.
That's what happens. They're leaving their pack.
Nice.
I've been wanting to play that sound effect. I had nothing to go with it.
Nice.
Okay, sorry.
And then throughout the whole center of the harbor, you've got your tarpon have been moving up and down from the top 20-foot hole all the way down to burnt store. Cobia scattered all over the place. Lots and lots of little sharks, but there's also been a few larger sharks. There's been some big, decent-sized bulls, some decent-sized lemons, some real good-sized black tips like we were talking about.
Actually, some small mid-sized hammerheads.
Yeah.
A few of those up in the harbor, 4-foot to 5-foot hammerheads. I'm sure if you got down off Boquilla, you might have a shot off the islands over there off Boquilla at an 8 or 10-foot hammerhead.
Right.
They do tend to like to cruise that area during the day.
Yeah.
And what's weird is I've never caught one or seen one there at night, but during the day I do see them there, and yeah. I have caught them there before.
Exactly. And hammerheads, you know, if you do happen to catch one, the main thing is handle them very, very delicately. Get them in as quickly as possible. If you realize that it is a hammer that you've hooked, get them in as quick as possible. Don't grab them by their hammer. Don't jerk them around to get crazy photographs, because they are one of the most delicate of all the sharks.
Really?
Super delicate.
I'll be darned.
You know, their mortality rate is probably the worst out of all shark species. You know, and that's why a lot of the, like, any of the FWC and stuff like that, when they're doing their net long lining for shark sampling and stuff like that, the longest they leave their sets out is 45 minutes. Because they found that they eliminate their mortality rate of hammers by like 75% if they check them every 45 minutes, because any longer than that, they end up drowning or dying somehow. And I think it has something to do with all the way their hammer is designed. It puts so much stress on their head, screws them up pretty good. So
wow.
Hammers are cool, and everybody wants to catch them, including me. I love them. They're absolutely archaic, demonic, cool, just stunning animals, but they are a pretty crappy catch and release animal, so just be real careful and handle them with some serious care compared to some of the other sharks that are
like the black tips and stuff.
They're pretty durable. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of like the carp. I mean, you can beat the crap out of them. It's, you know, you don't want to be belligerent or deliberately mean to them, but you know, they can get away with several photographs and grabbing the hook out of them and stuff like that. You just got to be a little careful with the other guy.
All right.
Enough of that soapbox.
PGI canals.
Yeah. Going from Alligator Creek, you've got a lot of snook, a lot of jacks. Going up into the Poacher's Cut area, same thing. Some jacks, some snook, a few mangrove snapper. Lots of juvenile tarpon moving around throughout the whole PGI canal system. Mangrove snapper bites been still pretty good. Mostly at the mouths of the canals are starting to really heat up right now. All of your bigger fish are starting to move out of there. Like, you know, Frank was talking about with the rain and stuff, it started to move some of those snook out. A good majority of those snook are starting to move towards the entrances of the canals and moving out in good little groups. So you've got your big jacks, your snook, some redfish, some Goliath grouper. Been a few incidental pompano, a few incidental sheep's head, and then the cobia have been from the entrance there at Ponce,
right,
all the way up towards like Fisherman's Village, kind of following that whole shoal there out there in front of Colony Point, and then they kind of hang out cruising back and forth between Marker 3 and basically Ponce de Leon. So you can sit up out there and anchor up and chum. Good chance of cobia, good chance of miscellaneous sharks, and also possibly a tarpon. There has been a lot of big black drums scattered around also throughout the whole PGI system.
Huh.
So, kind of a mixed bag. I mean, it's awesome fishing, but you just got to move around a little bit and be prepared to change change your game plan throughout the day, because, you know, you might have snook in mind, and the snook might work out good for the first hour, but then as you're moving to the next spot, you might come across a school of tarpon and decide to hammer those, or you may come across some cobia and sharks and decide you want to go after those. So be ready for all of it, because it's really, this is, it sucks, because unfortunately for you and I, it's busy, you know, usually this time of year, so we just get to live vicariously through everybody else. But these next 2 to 4 weeks are probably the most awesome time of the whole springtime / summertime, because you've got all the crossover of your wintertime fish are getting ready, are all starting to leave. Your summer fish are all starting to show up, so you got so many crossover and so many different opportunities of different species to fish for. It's just killer fishing right now. Just got to be prepared to mess around with it and change and experiment. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Well, anyway, everything out there right now is pretty good.
Yes.
And we've got a few weeks of some really good fishing. I'm a little curious as to what May's going to do with the water this warm already.
What is that?
Oh, that's the fax line.
Oh, I thought it was the bat line.
Yeah, that's fish line, fish man. Nice. Okay. So, anyway, curious as to what May's going to bring. Not looking forward to June.
No, I'm not.
I'm
not with this temperature the way it is. I don't know what that's going to do.
You know, a couple years ago, it was really weird. We had so much rain and so much cloud cover that the water never got hot.
Right.
And I'm actually hate to say it, but I'm hoping for a very rainy summer.
I would like that.
You know,
I don't like the mosquitoes that come along with it. They like me, but I don't really care much for them.
I don't have that problem. All I got to do is stand there. People buy all this expensive mosquito repellent and all this other stuff. I just stand within 5-10 feet of Robert, and I never get bit.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's why I'm having to wear pants all the time now, little buggers.
So anyway, I guess anything else we could think of?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, take advantage of this beautiful weather. Night times are still kind of cool. Day times are pretty toasty. So your night fishing is killer. Your day fishing is killer. Take advantage of all the different species we have to choose from right now. It's pretty, pretty awesome.
And sunblock is your buddy in your face right now.
Sunblock and water.
Big hats.
Sunblock and water.
Sunblock and water?
Hydrate.
Oh, you got to drink water. I'm thinking sunblock and water. What are you putting water in your sunblock?
Yeah, I'm diluting it down.
Okay. Find something that works for you. And noses, ears, cheeks. We already
backs of your kneecaps.
Oh, the calves. Yeah, my calves always, because I got
the backs of my
monster calves.
Get creamed.
And I got big calves. So whenever I'm out in the sun, my top of my calves fry out.
Yeah.
Big nose, so, you know, stupid long ass built Bob Hope nose I got, man, at the end of that's always fried.
Yeah.
So anyway, make sure you cover up with the sunblock, because even days when it doesn't feel that hot, the sun is pretty intense at this point.
Absolutely.
Let's see, but remember, if you're coming down from up north, and we're looking forward to seeing all you guys, we're getting ready to go into tourist season now, have a nice little lull in the store. We're restocking, getting everything back up, getting ready for tourist season, and all you guys to come down. My best recommendation this year is to bring the crappie rod with you. Don't, you know, when you're bringing your tarpon stuff, now tarpon stuff is kind of like musky tackle. If you can throw bait for musky, you can throw it, you can use that rod for tarpon. So you're going to want a bass rod, a musky rod, and or a crappie rod. And that's going to kind of carry you when you drag your boat all the way down here. Don't forget to bring something light to have fun with catching bait. Kind of round out the experience a little bit. We've got a whole bunch of new tarpon rods on the way in. Hopefully going to be here in the next couple of days. Everything is kind of looking up. It's been a good season so far. Everything's been kind of off the charts. Slow fishing in February, which came kind of back circle in March and April's been doing real good. We're getting kind of lulls up and down right now. I think the middle of the day is probably that 2 o'clock. What I would do is get out first thing in the morning, fish till about 1, and be back home by 2 o'clock. Right. And get out of the sun from 2 to 6 o'clock, and then get back out on the water 5-6 o'clock and get that evening bite in. But I try and be off the water you know, on the boat on the trailer by about 1 o'clock, and take it easy from 2 to 5, and then maybe go back out and hit it again, because the night fishing down here by the bridges and stuff is just going nuts.
Yeah.
And you can do the same thing in the Coosahatchee, the Mica River, the Peace River.
Just about anywhere on the west coast of Florida right now, it's kind of happening.
We're numbers on this, just to give you numbers on what the snook fishing's like right now, they're estimating over 1 million snook caught and released on the west coast of Florida this year, and it's been that kind of year. And
that's awesome.
It's going to even get better here over the next month, and then June is when we're going to have to wait and see how the fishing is going to be. But if you can get down here April and May, you're going to have a great time, and we're looking forward to seeing you.
Without a doubt.
So, hey, Larry. Okay.
Boy, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing.
I know we're gonna do it.
Instead of just a wishing. Bumpo baby bumpo baby mole. Oh yeah.
Alright, you know, Frank and Robert here in the chair on Radio Fishing, and thank you guys so much for listening. Numbers gotten a little better than 16,000 this year, and what a great time to be in Florida.
Definitely.
Good times. So, anyway, we're going to be back. I'm going to try and call around, and I think we have our phone lines fixed. We had another problem with the phone lines. Remember, it's Fish and Frank, not Tech Frank. So, you know, people always bust my chops about all the spelling errors and the grammar errors on all the problems I have with the website with the details. But, you know, and the same problem I'm having over here, we can't get the phone lines to consistently work. But I did get a hard line. So we're going to see if that works and hopefully get more reports from back on the water again. So I think I've got it fixed. I think we have the shiner tanks fixed.
Yeah.
It seems like there's very little that can't be fixed without money and time. So,
yeah.
All right. Anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me, and thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you in the next Radio Fishing.